circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning, on an ever-spinning reel, like a snowball down a mountain,
with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I just got some interesting information. It is disturbing, but that situation in Paris has another side to it. I didn't know this, but I think you need to know. It could be a metaphor, and in other words, something very similar. I'll tell you what it is first. The Paris concert crowds were singing Kiss the Devil the moment the terror attacks began. And I've got the lyrics to that, and it's scary. But they were all singing it, Glorify the Devil. It really is. As a matter of fact, if I dare to say it, see, the lyrics were like this. You know, Kiss the Devil by Eagles of Death Metal. Who loved the devil? Who loves his song? Who loves the devil and his song? I love the devil, I sing his song. And it goes on and on. I love the devil, I kiss his tongue. Oh, and it goes on like that. It's scary. And then the terrorists came in and did what they did. But the excitement of it, and this could be a concert. See, let's forget a terrorist. The terrorist is always there. As a matter of fact, I've got a little Bible verse here. Let me say it. Be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Peter 5:8. So, that's a metaphor, because even the concerts, the drugs you take, the drugs that kids take at the concert is designed to kill the pain. The concert, if concert doesn't do it, and it does it, but every high is a new low, so it's the wrong solution to an errant life. And so therefore, after the concert, they will take drugs to take the pain away from the pleasure they got. The pleasure is a high. And so is the cheers and the cries of people when they get excited with music. Now, there's no real danger, usually in America, such as I just explained. But the devil can enter, and the enemy we're fighting is not a person. They are spirits, and they enter you in very various ways, and each person gets his fill, and everybody gets what they deserve, in the manner of speaking, everybody. Not just those people, they didn't deserve it in the sense. But you can see the decadence to which they were falling. I don't think this is a funny thing to kiss the devil and talk like that. That's not fun. That's a metaphor, and God help them where they go. I say to you, there's good and evil in the world, and you are created not to glorify yourself and live for yourself, but live for the purpose you were created, but you have to choose it. But you have to choose, you have to be saved from what you've been imprinted with when the day you were born. You've been imprinted so that you're born innocent. Now, you were born innocent, but into a culture that is immoral and not innocent. And especially our homes, all too many, affect their children and they affect them to the degree that the programming in that various households will go through with them through their whole lives. And when they get married, and have relationships and produce children, it multiplies. The problem compounds. In every generation, that's why you see violence rising up in America. And the level of it is getting higher and higher. And so let me stop for a minute and say what I'd like to do in the break.
All of your problems will begin.
I would like to start the program maybe next Monday, because I have a caller that I really need to talk to. But I would like to start the program starting Monday with a meditation. Maybe I should do it now. Could you have Fred wait for a little bit? I want to start the program with a little meditation to keep out, if you don't mind me saying so, the devil. Okay, we'll be right back.
Like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning, on an ever-spinning reel. Like a snowball down a mountain, or a carnival balloon.
This program is brought to you by the Foundation of Human Understanding, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your financial assistance is absolutely necessary to keep this program on the air. All donations are tax deductible. Write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Call 1-800-877-3227 or visit FHU.com.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Yes, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I want to start the program with a meditation, but I have a caller from New York that I really need to talk to him. But, Fred, would you like to do a meditation with me?
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
Because I want to start my programs with a meditation and not spend too much time on it. But you know what to expect. So can I start with you?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so would you close your eyes? And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to close your eyes, because this program, just close your eyes for a little bit and hear what I have to say. This program is not just a talk show where I give you information about what the dangers that are coming down the track. It doesn't do you any good if you don't know how to deal with it. And you become demoralized by it, terrified by it. And that's not good, because the enemy wins when he upsets you and terrorizes you into submission, you know, and drives you to drugs and alcohol locally. You're doing it to each other. We got to stop this business doing unto others what was done to us, and taking our frustration and burying it, God knows what. And it's a whole plethora of miseries that go on in the head that nobody can reach except yours truly. Psychiatry can't. They've given up. They've given you drugs. But drugs open the door. Drugs open the door of hell. And I was talking to about the Paris crowd. And they were singing songs to the devil. And then all of a sudden, they were dead. And where did they go? I don't know. But you don't need to have that situation, or various situation about that. You have to be, let me see if I can find I can't do that now, sorry. Delete. I can't do that. I'm trying to open my, I can't do it. So I'm going to talk to Fred, and we're going to do a little meditation. Would you participate? I'll only do it for about 4 or 5 minutes, that's all. So let me start with Fred. Would you please close your eyes? Thank you. And just look at your eyelids. Ladies and gentlemen, please, when you close your eyes, look at your eyelids. Now you'll say to yourself, how do you do that? Well, if you look at your eyelids, if you stop to think, normally, when you look at your eyelids, you go to sleep. For a second, you just see those little pixels running through you, and maybe images. Hopefully not images, but in this case, if you look at your eyelids, the images go away. Let's just close your eyes, sit down on a chair, close your eyes, and look at your eyelids with your mind's eye. And some of you may not be able to do that. Too bad. Some of you can. It means you have an objective state. You are capable of an objective state which separates you from your thoughts. Now, if you look at your eyelids and see the little pixels moving, it's like little pixels, like little spots of light with different colors flowing across the bandstand of your mind. Okay? Please do that. And what's happening is, when you do that, it's a meditation because immediately you can't see your thoughts. You can't see your thoughts. That you left them behind. You're no longer entangled with your, if I may call it, the monkey brain, because the monkey brain dies with you when you die. But the soul that is looking at those little pixels moving across the screen of the mind is the soul that should be objective, and that's what objectivity is all of a sudden. So you're not going to go to sleep. You're going to stay fully awake, and don't try to help me to do any more than I ask you. So don't try. Don't push hard. I don't need help. God doesn't need help. He just wants you to look at your eyelids, and that's what's going to happen. Your consciousness retreats. It separates from the physical self, the physical brain, and the spirit of Paradise Lost outside like a roaring lion. Cannot get you there. The thoughts are still dancing around in your head, but you are standing back, looking at, and now you're looking at the surface of your brain. That's what you're looking at. It's not your eyelids. The minute you do that, you've moved backwards. You've moved back, but it's not a movement in a sense. It's a stillness. It's a separation from the thoughts and the feelings that give thoughts and thoughts that give feelings. And as you step back, you can't go too far back, just looking at your eyelids with the little pixels moving across, can't see your thoughts. You've left them behind. So now, when you're moving back, what are you moving to? You're moving towards the Creator. And He comes into you as you go into Him. Simple. Open your eyes. See, how does that feel? How does that feel, Fred?
It feels a sense of space and a sense of peace. Relative peace, yeah.
Yeah, there's no feelings, there's no anxiety, nothing. But I'm happy that you called, because you have a problem, but you think it's going to be caused by emotions, and they are to some degree. But what you didn't tell me last week, I mean yesterday, or the week, day before, was it yesterday I spoke to you?
About 2 days ago.
2 days ago, yes. So what you didn't tell me was, you had a problem with your mother, and what was the problem? What was the illness that connects to your mother?
The illness that connects to my mother?
She gave it a name.
Oh, asthma, you're talking about.
Asthma, yes. That is a female connected response. In other words, and then you've got diabetes, haven't you?
Yes, my dad had diabetes.
Yes, but it doesn't matter. You have it. Doesn't matter. He has it. Now you have it.
Yes.
And
I'm
diabetes,
only one of the four brothers.
Diabetes by itself will cause you to lose your eyesight. So I don't want you to think that meditation will bring it back. You have to go according to an order of things. And you are doing it. You're getting better. You're learning how to meditate and separating from your thoughts. And you're beginning to have peace and fulfillment. The word is fulfillment, because it's for most people, drugs is a fool's fulfillment. See, it gives them a sense of worth that's worthless. And every pleasure does that. Even food can be a fulfillment, a fool that eats lives for food. See, and you see, fulfillment is is material, carnal. And everything that makes you excited and angry and fills you with a sense of worth that's worthless contributes to the, it keeps the opening of to the devil, to the dark side of the force of other people and the seductive powers that they are able to extend to you as was extended to them. Well, you have to close yourself away from that and give yourself to your Creator. But the point is, I'm taking this a little bit too far, so let me just slow down just a little bit. So what was the name of the problem you had with your mother?
That was asthma.
Asthma. In other words, what's happening is you can't breathe.
Yes.
And so there is a word, I have problems with words that I want to, that I've known a long time ago. It starts with an A. Adrenaline, there it is. It's adrenaline when you get upset and angry or frightened. Adrenaline is plentiful. But there's only so much adrenaline you can expend when you're angry that you are not able to breathe. Because adrenaline requires, you notice that if you are in a dangerous situation, you find yourself breathing heavy. And you run, because that's right. But it's adrenaline that's doing that. And if there's no danger, the only danger being your mother is mean or overpowering in some way, and you tend to give in to that, get up and give in to it and go along for peace. Well, there is no peace, because you start to get angry again because you begin to feel the slavery imposed by that kind of mother or person. But it's usually a mother-child relationship. And so there comes a day when your mother irritates you this way and when your mother irritates you that way, and several times a day, God knows how many times a day you get irritated, you're burning up the adrenaline. And when it's burning up, when it's all burnt up, you can't breathe. Now, nobody will tell you this. It's common sense. And you could die from that. Unless you get a shot of adrenaline. Or you can just be on the brink of it where you pass out. And you have to wait for the adrenaline to come back to keep you alive. And so your problems go farther than what you've been hinting to me about. Wendy was talking about her experience, and you have a problem with the eyes. She had problems with breathing, and she recognized something about her past, and rather than go to the, well, right, she was going to have a research done on her mind and everything else, and when she saw that all the various contraptions she had to go through, she started to feel anxious and feel fearful. But the minute she saw she was fearful, she connected that to what made her fearful as a child, and bang, it disappeared. The fear disappeared, but so did the problem with the heartbeat. Well, not the heartbeat, but it's the breath that she had. And your breath, you have a problem of. Do you still have that sickness?
You're saying the asthma?
Yes.
No, it's interesting you bring it up for this reason. No, I guess the term is outgrew it as a child.
Yes.
I was very, very young at the time, but here's the interesting thing. Recently, the past year or 6 months, I will wake up at night with the feeling that I have to breathe.
There it is.
You know what I'm saying? I feel
that's
like,
right.
And this is very strange, I feel like I'm not going to breathe, so I have to make myself breathe.
I get it. You see it now? There's no mother to trigger it. If you had an image of your mother, let's say you had an image of your mother, you hear your mother's voice on a tape. Is she not alive anymore, is she?
No, no, she is. She's alive, yes.
Well, but the point is, you stay away from her unless you can deal with her. But that's the spirit of the mother in you. And that catch you unaware when you sleep. It rises to the surface. The dark side does all kinds of things. It can make a sound and make you think you heard a sound, and it was real as the sound was, but it wasn't a sound. It could actually hear it. So you've got to be very careful about, you know, meditation and recognizing that breathing comes from the resentment towards your mother. Okay, but don't go away, because I've got more to say. Now, I'm setting aside my appeals for support. That's all I'm going to say. Please support the Foundation of Human Understanding. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. And I'll go straight to Fred. Now, then you've got, then with problems with your eyes, it has to do with emotions, because the emotions create pressure. Do you have a high blood pressure? Do you have a high blood pressure? I can't hear him. David, I can't hear him. He's not there.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. No, I couldn't hear you before.
Okay.
Did you hear me? Did you hear my question?
Yes. And the answer is no, I don't have high blood pressure.
How do you know?
Well, look, I'm diabetic, and because there was a little bit of damage done to my kidneys, I do take a medicine as if I had high blood pressure, just to dilate the blood vessels.
Do you take your blood pressure every day?
No, I don't take my blood pressure.
You should, because you can't say you don't have blood. No, everything changes in seconds.
Okay.
You should take your blood pressure every day.
Absolutely, I will now.
And you need also to get that little thing they put on your finger to test the oxygen.
Okay, I will.
And that is a nice duo. It will help you to report to you that something is not quite right. So it doesn't go so far as you drop dead on the floor. You can do something about it. So the diabetes also will affect your eyes. There's a number of things that are going to affect your eyes. The stress, because the stress will express itself at the weakest point. The weakest point where you will be could be because of the problem with food. It could be that the eye could be the target. The stress will affect the weakest part, and the weakest part would be because of your eating incorrectly.
Well, you know, I did lose 50 pounds this year and got in good shape this year.
Okay, then.
Because I wanted to get the diabetes under control.
Yes, I have diabetes.
Yes.
That's a long time ago. And you know my story about I grew new arteries. And so I wondered why me and not anybody else. I found out all these things. Because I get very curious when things happen to people, or things especially happen to me, and said, why me? And then I see very clearly why. It's a 3-0. I mean, I try to make, there's 1, 2, 3 things you need to do. You need to learn to endure your own impatience, meaning to endure the anger you have towards other people inside you. You have a spirit of, whenever you have anger towards your mother or your father, never mind the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker, which is everybody else. But it's very important that you give up your anger towards your father. But where you get the sickness is not from your father. It's from the failing of your father that your mother gets inside you. And it takes a male something. It takes a male, a real man like a Jesus, that represents redemption. So he becomes so believable. See, so believable that you believe him. But you're not believing the devil, because the same kind of thing could happen with sociopaths. They're they're more lovable than God, apparently, in the eyes of people. So you've got to be careful of people who are sociopaths that can make you believe that they really are good and you should follow them. And so, you have any questions so far?
No, what I was going to say was that you verified something that I had. You know, I made the point once that when you're corrupted by your mother, it's almost impossible to understand your admonition to forgive because you'll misinterpret what it means to forgive.
Correct.
I was trying to be nice. I'd go there with my wife to try to be a good son. And then what I came to realize was that with her, a flaming liberal as she is, the only thing that I can do is the opposite without any anger. Simply don't see her and don't call her.
That's still a mistake.
I'm sorry?
Because you still have the residue of her in you working. The person can drop dead and disappear, dissolve and go out of the universe, but it won't go out of you. It's done its job through the dark side has done its job through your mother, through the failing of your father. The father is always the failing one. And Eve, women are Eves, all of them. And the really good Eves want a good man to say no to them and not to, because the kind of thing that women have is two attractions. One is sexual, to reproduce. And the other one is to use that sex to take control of your soul. And you see those things happening in homes where the man calls his wife mother. And you can see people, men who are weasels and feeble and appeasing the wife, and the women getting angrier and angrier and angrier and more powerful. And so the whole family gets upside down, so the dark side is still flowing very strongly through the woman and then sucking the life out of the man. And he dies, he runs away, he dies from a heart attack, God knows what. So you got to get rid of your mother, that spirit of your mother inside, and just staying away from her, it won't do it.
No, but let me share a little story with you, and maybe there's the secret in this.
All right.
All right.
Yes.
She lives in New Jersey. I live in New York City, close to each other. And she invited my wife and I out to a night at the opera. So because she invited us, but I said, you know something, she's trying to be very independent. She would take a bus home. I said, that's crazy. So I rented a car for a couple of hours and I drove her back home. My wife was driving. My mother was in the back seat. Now, I don't know if my mother has some type of trauma traveling in the car or what. I don't know what her history is, but she was getting hysterical that we were going to take the wrong turn here and the wrong turn there.
No, she didn't trust you. You don't understand. She didn't trust you.
I was calm. My wife was driving.
But you do understand. But she doesn't trust you or her. She's associated
with you.
That's
right. But the point was that I said to my wife very calmly, I said, you have my permission to drive the way you know how to get back. Despite my mother's hysterics, we eventually got back home. It's sort of like letting a child vent. My mother was sorry and apologetic when we got home. That was successful. But,
that was good. That was a good thing.
Okay, that was good. But here's the flip side to the story. In February, or, you know, like, let's say 6 months afterwards, this was last year, she invited us down to Florida, where she spent about like a month down there, and she was now completely hosting us. Even though she's an old lady, she rents a nice car, she drives very fast, et cetera, et cetera. We went to my cousin's place, she was driving us back, and I decided, no, this is an old lady, I'm not going to go through this again, I am going to drive her back, as I should.
Hold a second. I'm spending a half an hour with you, but you're... What the discussions we're having is going to be helpful to other people. So I'll just make a break and hope my host, Fred, will just pick up where he left off, because I want you to follow the discussion, because a lot of the things he's saying is paramount to and paralleled to what's going on in you in some way or another. And you can pick the parts or take the whole thing, the whole enchilada, because there's a whole bunch of things, and sometimes there's just one simple thing that could be observed and observed out of existence, because the light of this great is more powerful than and overcomes the darkness. Anyway, I've got a few minutes. Things are not as good as they should be. Maybe I'm too strong. Maybe people get angry with me. Please don't. Because I have a very difficult job. I'm not an entertainer. And entertainers are designed to make you forget your suffering. And you become addicted to your entertainment, your music, and your comedians, and your horror movies, and God knows what. Drinking, drugs, everything. So all of that is running away from... And the running away is deepening your relationship, where you're running away too without realizing it. The devil, so to speak. There's a dark side of this country that rises to the occasion of our weakness and nurtures us for a price. It looks like money, only money. It's more than money. It's your soul, you see. And so my purpose here, with these meditations I shall be starting on Monday, with my meditations, very simple ones like that, with little variations of it, that's all. You can practice it. But if you can keep me on the air and allow me to develop, you know, new stations, which I have to buy with your money, but please pay it forward. I know this is, you don't have enough time left. Your country is sinking very quickly. You've got the wrong president. You made two mistakes. Shame on you. Shame on the person that did it to you and the people that did it to you, and shame on you for putting him back again. And now he's inside your head. He's in control of everything, and you see what you've brought upon yourself because you were easily deceived. And then getting angry will only embolden him. As you have to be very careful now, because if you embolden him, more of that spirit in that man that you elected will get inside you through a whole system of cause and effects. And every thing he fixes, every cure for the suffering he heaps upon you, for every cure, there's a remedy from him, or from the person that is cruel to you. They can have a good side and then cuddle you and make you feel better. But first of all, they planted themselves in you, and then they embrace what was planted in you. And he goes on that, so the cure is worse than the disease. So I want you to understand, you're not going to get better in this atmosphere. And you have to learn to deal with the atmosphere and the people in it. And there's an atmosphere within you I will share with you. And I'm going to do it with this gentleman that's calling me now.
Like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning, on an ever-spinning reel, as the images unwind, like the circles that you find in the windmills of you.
This program is brought to you by the Foundation of Human Understanding, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your financial assistance is absolutely necessary to keep this program on the air. All donations are tax deductible. Write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Call 1-800-877-3227 or visit FHU.com.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
So, Fred, are you still there?
Yes.
He's not there, Mark. David.
Yes, please. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you now. All right.
Okay.
So, I'm keeping you on because you have a plethora of problems which match a lot of people that are listening for the same reasons. So, but in your last discussion with me a couple of days ago, you only just spoke about the eyes as Wendy was talking about a breathing. And, but yours goes a lot more, it goes deeper. She has overcome all of what you have, roughly. She has the same kind of mother and all the rest of it, but we need to pay attention to what, because I didn't have to go through all that. She did it all by herself. She was able to go through all the past as it appeared. She was able to look at it and go away, and eventually she looked at the fear that she had, and then her eyes got better. Her breath was restored. She didn't need to take any medicine or use any contraptions. And so, but you have several things that she may have. See, I don't know all the things that went on with her, but I suspect there's a very similar series of problems you have. And you need to keep, but any one of them can kill you. The asthma will take your breath away. And and in your sleep, when your consciousness is, you know, vulnerable, that the shadow of your mother appears, and that's what happens. You can't help yourself when you dream. It comes to the surface. It's better than you see this when you're fully awake. But still, now that you're fully awake, you can be aware that it will affect you in your sleep. That's why you need to meditate before you go to sleep. The scripture says a nice thing. He says, don't let... I don't know who said it, but I remember it. I think it's word for word. He says, don't have anger when you go to sleep, when you go to bed. Don't give the devil that kind of opportunity. That's I thought I got it right, but it's roughly what it is. Don't be angry when you go to sleep, and that's not that is it's got one word for that, but it says that. Don't give the devil that opportunity.
I think it's something like, don't let the sun set on any anger, something like that.
Yeah, that's right. You got it. You got it right. Listen, reading the Bible, you're nice Yiddish boy.
Yes, of course.
So, but you see what I'm saying. So I want you to be conscious of that. And in consciousness, there's a light. You don't realize that when you're looking at your eyelids, as you did just now, you're looking at the surface of your brain. You weren't looking at your eyelids. You, in the beginning, it was. But then it began to be the separation from you, from your in emotional thinking self. That's a machinery of its own. And like a monkey brain, it responds to the master, the stress of environment. It exists on the stress of environment. And your mother has also... lived on the stress of environment, and
you know, I have to confess to you, because when you take a look at yourself in a real way and you look underneath the cover, so to speak,
yes,
of course I'm terrified of my mother.
Yeah, that's it.
That explains why I was terrified of girls when I was a young man.
That's true.
No matter what I do on the surface, even if I decided last time when we were when she hosted us. And she was doing the same thing in the car. I decided this time to just outshout her. I tried not to be angry, but to outshout her, to stop all this nonsense. But she didn't have any effect. She just continued to give directions, even though I was using GPS, all the way back to her house. Almost like a psychotic person, you know, like a robot.
Well, let's stop there for a second and discuss... Over, how did you say it? Over shouted her? How did you say it?
I decided to outshout her.
Outshout her. In other words, out-shout. To be very strong.
Exactly. Now, and then I said that at the end. Look,
don't stop right there.
Okay.
Because I want to stop there. I talk to my wife like this sometimes. and do this, not knock it off. I'm not angry. And then she trembles a little bit, but it's between me and her devil, in a manner of speaking. It's between my presence and her past. My presence got to overcome her past. And gentleness doesn't always do it. It does its thing. But there is moments when you sit quiet and let her cry. Or let somebody, let your kids cry. Or let your wife cry because she can't get her own way and she yells and screams and you stay calm. But there is a time, and these are all different times, and that is being patient. My daughter, Diane, and her son, when he was about 5 years old, she called me and says, he's making such a fuss. And he said, he's angry. He's losing his temper. He won't be. I said, sit still and just be patient with him and let him vent on you as much as he wants. Sit quietly and don't react to it and just be patient. Really, really, really be patient, and you find the time passing very quickly. And he will vent all the anger, and then he will come to you and say, sorry, Mom, I didn't know what got into me. And she said, that's fine, son. And of course, now, so that's one thing. There are different. You can't be stoic. You can't be rigid. You can use all of the things that you see people do, but there's no anger in it. So if you can, if you're angry and shout at someone, it doesn't have an. If you're angry and shout at someone, it doesn't hurt, and they don't react to you, or they become back at you, then you can actually go quiet, or become loud, shout louder than them. But as long as there's no anger in it, you're coming from a good place.
Well, I just by hearing the way you did it, I see you did it better than I did. I was too violent, I realize now.
But you can see I can put it on. Oh, yeah. No, you can't. I'm going to go out of here. No, you can't. You're just angry. You can't go out. You're too old. You can't go outside the door. And then she says, afterwards she will say, I really appreciate you understanding me and not getting angry with me. And I like your strength. Thank you. There's a certain good strength and there's a bad strength, you see. And there's a dirty love and a pure love. And so you can't imitate that. You have to. Is you can't create it because it's unreal when you create it and you try to imitate it or give a version of it like you just did in the car shouting. If I shout, it's very effective. If I'm silent or quiet, I'm very effective. I do both as is needed, and sometimes we go between the two as necessary according. There's no formula that I can give you, but it's the light. In other words, everything you do has to be driven from an intuitive knowing without knowing why you know from within. So the first blood, the one who wants to draw the first blood, that's all right so long as you don't react. Because the person who casts the first stone or draws the first blood, they usually win. Or they cause the person to be angrier than them and then they lose because you've got a bigger, meaner person. Or the person will yield and give in to the angry person. It's okay for the person to try to take the first blood. But here's the magic. The first blood is intended to cause you to plant into you a bit of them and give them empowerment to embolden their ways and yield to them, because when you get upset, you'll either knock him down because you're bigger than him, or you become an appeaser and embolden him. And embolden him is like food. He becomes addicted to degrading you. And Now, if you're married to a woman, she's got all the tricks of the trade. A marriage is something that you must master. Very few men and very few women survive marriage. Nearly all of them die from disease and all the different things that's wrong with you.
Well, so, you told me something up in the Sunday discussion, which had I not come to Grant's Pass, I never would have seen.
What?
And that the relationship that I remember you told me that when I see my wife, how carefree she is, to instead of being jealous of it, to appreciate it and wish I could be that way.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Well, you opened a can of worms there. I had no idea what was going on. I see now that, you know, the relationship that my father had with my mother and with the kids, too, is the same relationship I have with my wife in this regard. My dad, because of all of his heavy traumas, the attitude was that nobody's problems mattered except his own and that nobody could understand what he went through.
Yes, so.
And so that's kind of the way I've been towards my wife. But had my father, you know, looked at other people who weren't traumatized and admired them and wanted to be like them, he would have been different. And that's what I have to do now with my wife.
Quite so.
And I see that, you know, I've been impatient. I've been impatient because I've been using that as a sort of a crutch.
Yes.
I didn't recognize it till you mentioned it.
Yes.
Very, very big.
I'm glad for you.
Today I was more gracious with somebody. Normally at work I don't talk to anybody, and just automatically today I opened up to somebody. I think it's connected to that, with changing the relationship to my wife and to people in general who don't carry heavy traumas.
But you don't have to be afraid to speak up to your wife. Because she really needs it. Eve needs the authority of Adam, but the authority of Adam is cannot be other than what's coming through him from the other side of the force, so to speak. And so a woman will recognize, but not necessarily accept it right away, since you're married. I'm hearing some background noise. Okay. Are we going to make a break here? How many minutes? How many seconds? Well, 50 seconds. Well, Fred, you drink up something else, and we'll finish the show with you. And then we'll go to our second hour. So, ladies and gentlemen, please support the program.
Round like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning.
Okay, thank you. Okay, hello, everybody. Welcome. I'm talking to a gentleman from New York, and I've allowed him to speak to me over this hour, where I normally, you know, do pontificating and listening to various people's problems and pointing these out. But he has a plethora of these problems all in one, and each one of them can affect the eyes. And this is the problem he has with his eyes. Now, if you eat correctly and the right amount and watch it. See, by the way, Fred, how many carbohydrates can you have a day?
Okay, let me answer that by saying this. I learned from a nutritionist that instead of starving myself through carbs, it's okay to eat more than I thought as long as I spread it out throughout the day.
Yes, and yes, that's also true. But still, how many?
Yeah, I can't tell you how many because I.
Well, you don't know. Therefore, you're in trouble.
Okay.
And so he doesn't give you all good advice. Now you ask me that question.
Well, my A1Cs are good, though.
Well, but the point is, I want to tell you, my goal. Well, it's not a goal. I don't prick my finger anymore because I know exactly what how many calories it is. Everything. So okay. You have to learn that. I don't need to prick my finger to see my blood pressure. I'm as strong as a horse. And all my problems go away. But I aim, well, it's between 30 and 40. That's all total.
The entire day, 30 and 40.
The entire day. But I use fats, good fats, olive oil, cooking, if you're going to cook with coconut oil, you need the good fats.
Well, it's even more difficult for me because of diabetes, I have gastroparesis, so I even have to keep the fats.
Gastroparesis, what's that? Does this affect your heart?
No, that means that in the central nervous system, right?
Hold the line. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Please send a check there. And FHU.com/donate.
Round like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning on an ever spinning reel.
This program is brought to you by the Foundation of Human Understanding, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your financial assistance is absolutely necessary to keep this program on the air. All donations are tax deductible. Write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Call 1-800-877-3227 or visit FHU.com.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Well, you've got so many problems, but I think you need to take care of the problems in a proper way. Do you know? Let me see if I can. Don't go to this nervous thing you got going, because I think you got enough going right now. If you get all the things I'm telling you, the other one, which is it seems like an extension of all that, will go away. You need to do the basic ones. Like just getting rid of the anger you have with your mother because she's created that asthma, and you're not finished with it because there's a memory inside there that triggers it.
Yes.
And so you need to. I don't know how to tell you how to do it better than the meditation, because that will produce its own cure. See, in other words, God, I'm not God, and so I can only give you information. And the average psychiatrist gives you outformation. There's a big difference. So I'm showing you how to let go of your own struggle with it and just allow the joy of reason to light you up at its own time. In other words, the fact that you brought the subject up, I brought the subject up, and you prevailed on it. That's a good thing. It's come to the surface. And so in your sleep, the consciousness, because you're knowing where to look now, it's buried there somewhere, and it the dark side knows how to, well, it doesn't need the dark side, it's coming to the surface. It's coming to the surface all by itself, because I know that you're on the path.
Okay.
But what you will see in everyday life is what is meant to unfold like a flower. There's so many levels of programming, so many levels. But to the degree that you don't get upset with yourself, and to the degree that you learn that your mother, you know, didn't know, she was not born that way any more than you were born that way, and she, forgive her, in a sense, in your heart, the word forgiveness, maybe that's not a good word. It is to realize that she couldn't help herself to be what she was and did to you what you can now see you're standing your shoes in. In your shoes, you got the suffering, and you're trying your best to not it rub off on anybody else. But you're stuck with it inside you. And so it's a journey. So if I can get you to meditate and introduce you to the process of redemption, because it's a process, it doesn't all go away at once. It goes away a little bit at a time. Oh, I see that. Oh, I see that. And every time you see something, it goes away. But it leaves the shadow, which has become sort of a dark mass inside you, in a sense.
Yes.
See, the shadow, as it begins to melt, and it gives, as it melts, it gives off the the memories. No, it's another word I want to find. In this world, inside your head, there's no scientific words for it, but every time you get upset, you suppress it, and you get angry with yourself. You're struggling with the dark side of the force, and you're giving it energy, and it becomes a dark mass equivalent to your spirit that is your beautiful spirit that could be growing instead of that.
Yes.
It fits into your body. It takes the shape of your form, but the meditation, it does the opposite. It causes the light shines on the darkness, and it causes, because you're not repressing anymore and you're willing to see, then you're happy to see what comes to the surface. Oh, I didn't see that before, and you're happy to see it. And the happiness, the greatness, doesn't a whoopee, it's got a sound, it's just glad. Oh, there is that. I never saw that before. Bang. And then you're having a shower. And then something else. Oh, I did. You know, just showering and doing. You're sitting on the toilet. It could come any place. Walking down the street. When you least expect it, a flash. Ah, somebody says something. A little baby cries. Or a leaf falls from a tree and triggers something, but positive. But you don't know what is to be next. But when you're watching, it's melting. The thing is looking. You're looking at the thing without realizing the light is coming in, and it's the dark mass is evaporating, and giving you back the memory from which it's composed, the energy, and the light of the truth neutralizes it. And slowly but surely, the programming in your brain, in other words, you're not living in your brain anymore, because if you live in your brain, you've got all these thoughts and you've got these struggles. You simply, all you need to be is a person that goes around without fear, without ambition, and the only thing that you know that is pure is to be with your Creator. Is always there, because now that you see, you're getting better. You're getting better because you're letting Him into you through the meditation. It doesn't mean to say you have to meditate day and night. See, if you ask me, do I meditate? I say I don't, because I'm in that state. I'm in that state 24 hours a day, and every now and day I sit quietly. Every now and then. Just to make sure. So I just won't, you know, won't be too prideful. But I am with Him and He is with me. And He speaks to you through me. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. He says He's with you. And all you need to do is just let everything go and look at the flaws and the problems that come up and learn to deal with imperfect people perfectly. That's all. Okay. Oh, I only got 1 minute. Say goodbye to Fred. Would you?
Goodbye, Roy.
Oh, goodbye. Okay, thank you. That's nice. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, did you not see yourself in some of those things and see some hope? I do hope so. Please support my program. And, you know, you can send a check. The Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528, fhu.com/donate. And you can get the meditation I just did, a variation of it, on my website, fhu.com. Or you can go to antidoteforall.com. It's simple. That's all it is. Is a download from there too. Okay, we're going to break. We'll come right back.